Welcome to the Living Healthy Despite Chronic Conditions podcast, where the focus is on joy, abundance, and well-being. I'm your host, Erica Bridgman. Each show, I dialogue with people who are doing amazing creative ventures that were inspired and motivated by conditions that were difficult, unwelcomed, and even life-threatening. In part two of my conversation with Tanner Gears, we continue to explore such topics as how his Cajun culture keeps him connected to his roots and the foods that he loves so much, laughter, and how he manifested $10,000 in 1 month through affirmation and gratitude. Do you feel any different as far as playing sports and being a physically active person before you lost your sight as opposed to after? What are some of the changes that you've noticed in your performance?
That's a great question. I feel now, just because of my mental approach and my, you know, even now as a blind athlete, you know, don't get me wrong, I was committed before I lost my sight, but that was I think sports were when I was younger was my kind of getaway. And so I really loved it. And I say the biggest tragedy in my life isn't my accident. It's that I didn't take all aspects in life by the horns like I'm doing today. That's the biggest tragedy in my life. Because, you know, who knows what greatness I would have achieved if I really applied myself with all of my faculties when I had them. So, you know, but now, yeah, things are different. I mean, there's some limitations, but with those limitations come opportunities. And that's something that I think a lot of people, you know, miss when they're assessing their situation, is they look at the situation and they can't help but see the roadblocks, the struggles, and the hurdles. And those are only things that you see when you lose attention or focus on the goal.
Well, besides sports and food, what other things inspire you or uplift you, especially when you're feeling down about yourself or about the world? What are those things that you enjoy and you turn to in those moments?
I wish I could read this quote to you. I have this motivational track that I found on YouTube. And after bugging the man that made it, he ended up sending me the MP3 of it. And I shared the YouTube clip with my brother on YouTube. And he goes, and I asked him, I said, hey, what's the videos of? And he goes, it's just one picture of Mike Tyson the whole time. And I was like, oh. And he goes, but there's flashes of quotes throughout the entire video. And I said, really? And so he's reading me some of these quotes. And one of the quotes was from some Navy SEALs. And it went something to the effect of, the reason that we're standing here today is for the men that are buried beneath us. And it had a much stronger emphasis. The words had a much stronger emphasis on the death of these men and the sacrifice that they've made. And it makes me think about all the other people that have much greater struggle than I have. You know, the people who don't have arms or legs. I've met people like this. There's a great guy on my team. His name's Josh. And he was born without feet. And he was also born without arms below the elbow. And he was also born without a jaw, a lower jaw, or a tongue. And I think about individuals like that, and he just crushes it. He gets out there, and he doesn't let anything stop him. You know, I think about all the servicemen, you know, who have given their lives for us to be enjoying the conversation that we're having right now. I think about that one little kid. He may be an orphan, or he may be homeless, but he's never had a dime to his name. And he gets up every day with the hope of creating something better for himself. And then I look at me, and I don't compare myself as much as I ask myself, what can I do today? When I'm down, that's what I think about, is all the people who've come before me, all the people who are going over hurdles and boulders much taller than the ones that are in front of me.
There's a quote, a saying, I felt sorry for myself because I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet. And that's just, you know, when I first heard it, I think I was very young when I heard that, but that struck me. And I've remembered that. So I want to ask you, if you were going to go back in time to age 12 or even age 15, what would you say to your younger self?
Believe in yourself. You deserve everything that you want.
And then equally, say your older self, maybe at age 55, 60, came back in time to you right now, what would you imagine that they would say?
I'm so glad you believed in yourself and you felt like you deserved what you want, because the abundance is overflowing. That's really the most important thing, is really just believing in yourself, believing in your heart and your passion and whatever it is that moves you, and then believing that you actually deserve it, really deserve it. This is something that's been very, very new to me in terms of my self-worth. And it was actually a conversation that I had with a gentleman in the beginning of 2014, a friend of mine. It's actually one of the only friends that I was able to retain after my accident. And this was when I was first fundraising for stem cell therapy. And he called me up and said, Tanner, why don't you just fundraise for the money? And I said, man, that's a nice thought, but I couldn't ask for that money. And he goes, why not? I said, I don't know. I just feel weird about it. I don't feel comfortable asking for people for money. And he goes, Tanner, you deserve it. And that was the first time that I really started to value myself and to quantify my self-worth. You know, even to 2012, when I had earned a spot at the Olympic Training Center, living there, preparing for London, when I'd already essentially secured my ticket to the games, even after being a gold medalist in the Pan America Games in 2011, earlier that year, I was the National Beat Baseball Association Most Valuable Player for the World Series Tournament. I was an all-star before that. Even retaining my job, gainfully employed for the longest time I'd ever in my entire life. I was gainfully employed for almost 4 years. Even after earning my college degree and my certification as a personal trainer. Even after delivering motivational speeches, meeting my wife, and recovering, healing my brain with my mind, which is something we didn't get into, but I healed my brain with my mind. I did all these great things, and I did them all as a blind man. And yet I would not quantify my life as successful or that I deserved any of those achievements. And I would think back to when I could see. I would think back, and really, on paper, all I had ever really achieved was some minor, very, very minor sporting success. And I graduated high school. That was it. And I, in my mind, I thought, that that was more valuable. That was more deserving. I was more deserving back then than any of the value or any of the success that I achieved after that. I was still so self-worthless. And so that's what I would want to tell myself as an older person. It's just, you know, looking back at a younger me today from an older, you know, person when I'm 55 is that, you know, it's just, you know, I'm so glad that you continued to believe and you continue to develop your self-worth, because everybody, every human being listening to this conversation deserves their wildest dreams. You do. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. That does not matter. What matters is right now. Your belief in yourself and the decision to start feeling like you deserve it and feeling your self-worth. We're all very, very powerful beings and entities. And it begins with the belief in oneself and the belief in that you deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you are the creator of the Absolute Lean system. What is the system and why did you decide to create it?
Well, thank you so much. You know, Erica, I really, really wanted to be the expert for a super long time. So passionately, I wanted to be the expert, and I was, you know, helping people. I was giving consultations and, you know, I was working with these individuals, you name it. I mean, cancer survivors, you know, people getting ready, you know, that have horrible intestinal distress, you know, they're getting ready to lose their gallbladders. I'm helping them save that. You know, I'm helping them manage their autoimmune conditions. The Hashimoto's, you know, getting people to get their, you know, their blood levels to check, to improve their energies, to improve their body composition. And so what I did was is really just kind of align these people's focus back to food that helps us be healthy, the nutrition and fitness that's focused on optimal health. And really, I was just basing all of that on that one fundamental principle of what's the body's number one focus, and it's survival. And so I think, you know, 100, 200 years ago, before there was Safeway, before we had refrigerators, you know, what would we do in the wintertime in Ohio? You know, what would we do in Arizona? You know, we didn't have, you couldn't go to the grocery store and buy a banana in December. You couldn't go to the grocery store and buy a banana almost any of the time. You know, and so I really got, you know, and I don't want to say it's paleo. I think paleo is a really good thing because it's way, you know, eating paleo is way better than eating McDonald's. But it does take these ideas of what's optimal. How were we eating, or how would we eat if we didn't have all the resources available to us today? And it really gets back to whole foods. And so we'd eat whole foods, and we would selectively choose the whole foods that are for our body type. And let me tell you something, any nutritionist or any person who's working with nutrition who says there's one diet for everybody is not worth a lump of coal when it comes to nutrition, because everybody's different. Everybody's different. And we're going to do our best to hit that on the right time the first time, but we're going to have to make adjustments to find what's working best for you. And, you know, the funny thing is that can change over time. As your body begins to change, as hormones begin to change, as physiologically you begin to change, you know, your optimal nutrition plan is going to change. So not only does age play a role, but lifestyle factors play a role, meaning, you know, are you an avid exerciser or are you sedentary? You know, are you Eastern European or are you from Africa? You know what, you know, are you from the Pacific? Are you from a Pacific coastal person like an Asian? Or are you a Native American? You know, so where, you know, what is your heritage? That's also going to play a role in what, how you're going to respond to foods. And then, of course, then we get into epigenetic expression and even or mechanisms, not only from your parents and your grandparents, what were their lives like and how the, you know, what was their health status? But then again, too, is what was your health status over the course of your life? You know, because it, you know, as the research supports, you know, if you used to be obese, if you were diabetic or pre-diabetic, you're going to have a hard time. It's going to be much, much harder for you now than it would have been before you became metabolically deranged and ill. And, you know, it gets back to that old saying, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And it's going to take many pounds of cure to help anybody get back on track. But, you know, that's the absolutely lean system. It is a adaptable, dynamic approach to optimal health using science, nutrition, and fitness.
Great. Awesome. So I'm really glad that you talked about what the absolute lean system is, because another thing that you wrote in your bio that you sent to me was the fact that you're Cajun and that food within your identity, the Cajun culture, is really big. And so I wanted to ask you about that. And could you tell me a little bit about what that means for you? What does it mean for your family? And how does your family celebrate Cajun culture through things like food and gatherings and celebrations?
Yeah, great question. I think laughter and food are two of the most healing things in the world, you know, if they're used appropriately. And that was something that I really kind of fell in love with when I was healing from my accident. It tremendously helped me, you know, forget about the depression and forget about the problems and forget about the blindness and really help me, you know, be better. And so being Cajun, we would gather in the kitchen and we would cook different dishes. You know, it was gumbo or jambalaya or etouffee and, you know, it was, you know, various types of seafood, and which is extraordinarily healthy for you. But, you know, so, and then I like spicy foods, you know, because of my Cajun background. You know, things are typically pretty spicy in the Cajun culture. And, you know, one of my favorite seasonings used to be Tony Sachery's. I don't eat that too much anymore just because of everything that's in that. I'll use my own seasoning mixture. But, you know, that's, you know, my Cajun background is really just kind of growing up around the kitchen, you know, seeing and smelling the awesome things that my grandma and my mom were cooking, and, you know, just really falling in love with that. And then so as that relates to me as a blind guy, you know, I got in the kitchen. Why was my blindness going to stop me, you know, from cooking and taking, you know, even though I moved out of my parents' house, like, I still want to bring food with me. I still love cooking good food. And, you know, there's nothing that's going to be as good as, you know, what you cook at home with your heart.
Absolutely. So what are the kinds of foods that you especially love?
So I love gumbo. My mom's, you know, chicken and sausage gumbo is so good. You know, I'm not such a big fan of sausage anymore. You know, the tubed sausage. I'll eat loose sausage, no problem. You know, I love that. I love shrimp. I love crawfish. I love a lot of different fish, you know, of course, salmon, which isn't really that Cajun, but catfish is very Cajun. I'll eat frog legs. It's tough to find frog legs at Sprouts or Whole Foods. those are the types of food that make me think of home and that Cajun culture.
Where geographically does your family and Cajun culture originate?
Southern Louisiana, so really around New Orleans. And we were about an hour, I was born about an hour and a half away from that, you know, so Mardi Gras, you know, Fat Tuesdays, if you've ever heard of that, you know, that's right around Mardi Gras, and or during Mardi Gras. And, you know, so the parades and the king cake and the beads and the masquerades and the Zydeco, just, you know, all those things, just as you can tell from my super deep, super thick Cajun accent.
That's awesome. So do you go back to New Orleans to enjoy the parades during Mardi Gras season?
I've been meaning to go back. The last time I was actually in New Orleans was for the New Year of 2010 to 2011 New Year, and that was just out of control. It was, you know, I was there with my family, and there's this famous piano bar down there is it on Bourbon Street? In the French Quarter. And, you know, my mom and aunt were asked to calm it down. yeah, so it was, yeah, that was so much fun. And, you know, it, a little embarrassing when not you, but your mom is asked to, you know, to cool it off.
Well, that's great. Well, in addition to that, you also mentioned how laughter has aided you in the healing process. Where do you find the most laughter?
Oh, with myself. Yeah, just laughing at myself. And I, you know, I'll pull anybody's leg. You know, I only pull the legs of people that I like. You know, that's a really good way to determine whether or not I like you, is if I'll pull cheap shots on you. So, you know, with my wife, as you can imagine, I like her a little bit. And so I come up with names for her all the time, like little nicknames, and, you know, I tease her a lot. But it's really, you got to really walk a fine line when you're making fun of yourself or other people, because, you know, unless they really believe in themselves and they have a lot of self-worth, esteem, and confidence, you can really negatively influence them or their beliefs. So I just want to put that little, you know, public message out there, is that, you know, while comedy is funny and laughter is healing, you know, just be careful about how you're directing the humor. And that even goes 100% for making fun of myself, is that, you know, if I'm constantly, like, you know, banging on myself with jokes and stuff, you know, before long, that stuff becomes ingrained in your, you know, unconscious mind. And before you know it, you begin developing these self-limiting beliefs based on this comedy. So it's really a fine line. You know, but you just got to be, you can't take yourself so serious, and, you know, just laughing at stuff. I love watching stand-up comedy, you know, because I can laugh at what other people are saying. And, you know, it's not about me. It's not about anybody else. And it's really kind of this innocent way to, you know, for laughter. The other way that I really like is telling stories. There's so many stories of that. My wife's Mexican, and she was born in Mexico, and she came to the United States when she was really young. But, you know, some of the things that she does are hilarious. Like, you know, I really believe we could have made many a million dollars with a reality TV show of people following us around and just listening to our conversations, because, you know, it's just funny.
That's awesome. That's really great. So you also are a motivational speaker. What are some of the audiences that you talk to?
Did you pick up on that with some of the messages I was saying?
No, I read it in your bio, and I wanted to bring that out too.
Yes, I was. So I might, like, yes, you know, I'm definitely a motivational speaker, and that's really just, you know, my desire to help other people recognize the greatness that lies within inside them. You know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, we are these amazing beings. And there's no difference between you, I, or the next guy. The only difference is, you know, who's going to begin to believe in that greatness, believe in that worth, and then take action on it. Focused action, relentless focused action, and call what it is, what they want, into their lives. And sometimes it just seems so silly. Some of the things that I've been able to manifest in my own life. And if we have a minute, I would like to share one leadership motivational point that I have been more consistent with in my life that's paid off hugely.
Oh, absolutely.
So we all have heard about goal setting before, and I don't want to make anybody yawn or turn the channel. Erica would not appreciate that. But let me tell you guys, I used to be the same way, where I was like, yeah, goals, okay, goals. But when I finally decided, I don't even remember who it was that convinced me to do it, but I finally sat down to write out my goals. And I'm not talking about anything like complex or super long term. I'm talking about goals with inside a few months. And I was baffled because I couldn't even come up with them. I couldn't put the words to paper. I knew what they were. Right, I have these goals, like, oh, I want to do this, oh, I want to do that. But when it came to writing them down, I was shocked that I was having a difficult time doing it. And then that made, so after I got them down, it really kind of made me think, like, well, what else can I do to improve these goals? Like, I thought I was super goal-oriented. If I'm having a hard time writing them down, where else am I lacking with this whole goal setting thing? So then I learned about the right way to set goals. And I'm going to share with you the two goals that I gave myself. Then I'm going to share with you how soon I got them. And then I'll share with you how I write them and how I affirm them every day.
That's great.
Okay, so, you know, to kind of test this whole theory, as I wanted to make one goal achievable and one goal, you know, to the next level. And both of these goals, you know, what's the one of the most easiest things to measure? Money, right? We can look at our bank accounts, boom, there it is. You know, we can look at our wallet, boom, there it is. Money is an easily measurable thing. So that's what my first two goals surrounded. And I made one that I had already achieved earlier. And this is last year. I moved up to Phoenix the last week of July, and I set these goals the latter part of August, mid end of August. I don't want to say the last week, but it was definitely the middle end of August. And so my first goal I already achieved, like I said, earlier that year, and I did it at a speaking engagement. And that goal was to get paid $1,000 in a single day. Okay, so I've already achieved that goal mentally, energetically, super ready for that. And then my second goal was to get paid $10,000 in a single month. Had yet to do that. And, you know, so that was what my goals were. It's like, hey, I want to get paid $1,000 in a day. I want to get paid $10,000 in a month. Well, you know, then I started to figure out how to write these goals, and I realized that, man, I was really limiting myself, my opportunities, in the way that I was saying it. So before I get to that, you know, I set these goals in the latter part of August, and I gave myself the deadline of August 1st and then of August 31st. I thought, I'm going to parlay that grand in one day into my $10,000 goal. So I achieved both of these goals in one day, and I did it in September.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pray tell how you did that, please.
I did it in a month. And that's what I'm saying, guys. This is like the power of goal setting. But then it gets to more than that. It also gets to the affirmation and then, of course, the practice of gratitude. So gratitude, super, uber important, right? Because we can't ever attract more in our life unless we're grateful for what we have now. And it sounds so weird to say, like, being grateful for the 2 cents that I have in my bank account, but let me tell you something, you can rub those pennies together, and that you can be grateful for that. So you're never going to attract 4 cents or 8 cents or 16 or 32 or 64 or 128 until you begin being grateful for what it is that you have right now. So here's how I you know, evolved through the goal setting. As I said, you know what, I'm really limiting myself when I say paid, because really, do I care if I'm paid or not? Like, really, I just want to get it, you know? Hmm. So then I structured the goals like this, and this is how I recommend everybody doing them, is one is say it as if it's already happened. Two, put a date on it. And three, state the reason why. So my goal first read out, I was paid $1,000 in a single day by October 1st, 2014 because I deserve it. And then I would say the same thing after that with the $10,000 goal in a single month. And I put that very specific date on there. And notice that I was paid in the past tense. $1,000, very specific, in a single day, very specific, by October 1st, 2014, very specific, because I deserve it. And everybody deserves it. If you believe it, that's a pretty powerful reason. So then I was like, man, paid is so limiting. Like, I just want to, you know, receive it. And ultimately, that's what I came to. There was a middle one in there. But ultimately, it's like, man, do I really care if I'm paid? Do I really care if I just get a check in the mail? No. All that I care about is when I call up my bank and it says that I just got $1,000 in a single day. That's the goal. So I changed it to, I received $1,000 in a single day by October 1st, 2014, because I deserve it. And while, like, you know, before I say it, I look inside myself and I'm like so warm and thankful, and I'm thankful for my mom and my dad for birthing me, you know, for giving me the opportunity to succeed today with this life. I'm thankful for my brother. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for the roof over my head. I'm thankful for the food in my pantry. I'm thankful for the food in my stomach and the clothes that I get to wear every day. And like you said, the shoes and the feet that I have in this body, in this mind. I'm so grateful for everything that I have. I'm so grateful for the $10 in my bank account. Gosh, I got $10. There's so many things I can do with that $10. So grateful for that. And then I affirm my goal. I received $1,000 in a single day by October 1st, 2014, because I deserve it. And I would say the same thing about that second goal. And so then all of a sudden, you know, September, about 30 days later, I get a phone call and boom, both goals one day.
Wow. That is fabulous.
So that was a long old explanation for that. So I took it to the next level for this year. Like achievement is like pain, right? Like once we got it, awesome. Or excuse me, achievement is like pain relief. Like when we've got pain, it's like, oh my gosh, I got this pain. And then when it's like gone, it's like, what pain? And so that's how it was with my goals. I like, it wasn't until November until I started to re-practice that. And I thought to myself, how silly is that? I just got over 10 grand in a single day and I'm not practicing this like actively. So I took it to the next level for 2015, and I put athletic goals down. Mm-hmm. I put business goals down. I put financial goals down, and I also had goals of related to stem cell therapy, mm-hmm. and just belief with that.
Yeah.
And in record time, ladies and gentlemen, these goals are falling. And I don't want you to get upset if you don't reach your full goal. Because let me tell you something. If you set a goal for $100,000 in a single month and you've never made five figures in a single month, let alone six. If you get 30, 40, or 50% of that goal, that's a pretty damn good month.
Well, I want to ask you, so when did you, okay, so you wrote that in August.
Yes.
And then in by November, you achieved it.
No, it was like 30 days later in September. I just so like on a high note, like things were just so going so good, and I got so caught up with life that I didn't slow down and say, you know what, hey, maybe I should do this goal thing again.
So you did it once, and but kept affirming, just being your gratitude and your affirmation of, you know, I'm blessed. I'm so thankful for the people in my life. You just, that was kind of like a running track in your mind. And is that how you...
I actually would only practice gratitude and my affirming my goals twice a day. It's very important that you write them down and then keep them somewhere where you're at all the time. You know, so for me, I actually had to type them out on the computer. And I would look at them, you know, if like I had a second or whatever, I would, you know, I might pull up the file, you know, once or twice a week. You know, it wasn't that often. I knew that they were there. I would think about them throughout the day because I'm always working on my computer. But, you know, I would suggest that people put them up in places that they see, you know, like on the mirror, you know, by their bedside, on their computer, you know, on the wall, on the TV, on the refrigerator. And what's so funny, what they've learned about goal setting and putting these things up is that, you know, when we, you know, humans, we get so used to things. And so we don't even see them anymore. It's like, you know, the train that goes by in the middle of the night. You know, 1 month in, you're going crazy. 1 year in, it's like, what train? So, you know, move them around. Put them on different spots on your TV. Put them on different spots on the door, different spots on the mirror. Move them around so that they become, you know, you're seeing them. And then what I like to do is, and honestly, I don't do this every day, not because I don't intend to, but just because I forget or I'm so tired or, you know, something goes on. But let me tell you something, taking the extra 5 minutes before you get up and 5 minutes before you go to bed will pay super duper dividends. So before I get up, I go through everything that I'm grateful for the day. I'm grateful to be alive today. I'm grateful that I'm waking up in a bed underneath the comforter or the sheath on these soft pillows, my soft mattress.
Yeah.
I've got a roof over my head. And, you know, I'm waking up next to my wife. And, you know, oh gosh, I'm waking up because my mom and dad gave me life. You know, even if you don't know your parents, and let me tell you something, my dad was not around much at all when I was young. And I'm grateful that he's my dad, because at the end of the day, he's still my dad. Even though we don't talk much, even though nothing, you know, even though I wish we had a stronger relationship, I'm still grateful for him because he gave me the opportunity that I have every day. And then, you know, and then I just say my goals, you know, I get my love, my love up, my vibration up, feeling so happy. When you're going through these things in your mind, you should like not be able to keep a smile off of your face. It should just like a smile should just be coming up to your face. Like that's how good you're feeling. And then that's when you know you're in the right spot to affirm your goals. In the past tense, very specifically, set the date and then give the reason. I was, you know, I received $10,000 in a single month by October 31st because I deserve it, because I'm a champion, because I do everything I need to do every day to be the best I can be, because I'm a good husband, because I'm providing for my family, because I make the right decisions, because I put my best foot forward, because I smile, because I'm a good person, because I'm happy, because I deserve it.
Absolutely. That is fabulous. That is so awesome. I am certainly going to do that. I have thought in my mind about what I want, but I have not taken the time to actually sit down and write them out. It's funny because this kind of keeps coming up for me. I keep getting hints of, Erica, you need to write stuff down. You need to write it down. So I'm going to take your cue and write it down.
Well, you just got to promise me that when you hit that six-figure goal that you're talking about, you kick 10% up to Uncle Paulie.
Yes, I will do that.
I want you to have, you deserve that.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, Tanner, you have been awesome. How can people get in contact with you if they are interested about the Absolute Lean system or any other services that you provide? How can they hit you up?
Erica, thank you so much for that. You know, everybody, I want to thank you so much for being so patient with me on this call today. And actually, you know what, like I had said earlier, is that I've really, really tried to be the expert. And I think, like, the universe is pulling Erica to the goals. The universe is pulling me away from being that expert. And so I'm really focusing my expertise and knowledge on other avenues, on myself, really, and on my family who wants it. But if you do want, you know, if you got questions or you want me to answer something, you know, you can hit me up on Twitter at Tanner Gears. That's TannerGers. You know, of course, you can always check out absolutelylean.com. That site will be up. And, you know, if you end up buying a nutrition program on there, you know, of course, I'll support you in that. We've got the fitness program on there, which is loaded with workouts. I think I've got like 16 or 18 5-minute workouts on there. It's 15 workouts on there at three different levels. I also break it down how people can, you know, even if you're sedentary, you can't do a push-up, can't do a sit-up, you know, I bring you up from, you know, sedentary to beginner to intermediate to an advanced level. But Erica, actually what I've been focusing on really is I found my niche, found my sweet spot as the connector. Instead of being the expert anymore, I'm now connecting people with experts. And, you know, with my passion for sport, is I've started theathletesummit.com.
Okay.
Theathletesummit.com. And that is, you know, everybody knows at least one athlete in their life, whether it's a cousin or a friend or even a weekend warrior. You know, what I'm doing is I'm gathering elite level professionals in strength and conditioning, speed training, nutrition, mental toughness, and sports specific experts to deliver my audience, developmental athletes and coaches, the tools, tips, techniques, exercises, and training modalities and concepts to really achieve greatness in sport and greatness in life. It's a really motivation-focused thing where we get some motivation in there, sharing some principles that have allowed these people to come, you know, achieve these phenomenal athletic goals, as well as giving the training aspect of things. And we're having these really engaging conversations right now. Earlier today, I interviewed an elite swim coach who's doing some phenomenal stuff, training Olympians and people on that path to Olympic status. She's down in Florida. And, you know, other coaches like that, mindset coaches, you know, speed coaches, you know, even mixed martial arts and soccer and you name it, they're going to be on the Athlete Summit.
Wow, that sounds awesome. You sound like you are moving into a fabulous area, and I am so thrilled for you, so happy. You continue to provide benefit for people with all that you do with your clients and your associates. So congratulations, Tanner, on finding that sweet spot.
Erica, thank you so much for inviting me on. Thank you for your encouragement. And I want to express my appreciation to the audience for bearing with this long-winded speaker that's talking right now. And thank you so much, Erica, for bringing all these people listening, the great information that you are. You know, there's more people out there like you that we need to help get us going in the right direction, on the right path, and how we can change our lives with, you know, regardless of situation or medical condition.
Awesome. That's great. Well, That is it for this edition of Living Healthy Despite Chronic Conditions. I'd like to thank my guest, Tanner Gears, for joining me today. And I want to thank you, the listeners of this podcast. You can find a new episode of the Living Healthy Despite Chronic Conditions podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher, as well as SoundCloud. Please be sure to give a rating and review in iTunes, as well as give a like on our Facebook page. And finally, please leave a comment at peasinapod.org with your own ideas and suggestions of how to live healthy despite chronic conditions. I've been your host, Erica Bridgman. Till next time, cheers.